الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال من أمتي أمة قائمة على أمر الله، لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الدين بدأ غريبا وسيعود كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء وهم الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس من بعدي من سنتي، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد، الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. On the most precious gift of Iman, and in every sense of the word, the absolute haqq and truth is the most perfect, pure, complete and everlasting teachings of the Deen of Islam, which Allah has given to us purely as a gift, and furthermore through His infinite grace has made us in the ummah of His beloved Habib, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied the major signs of Qiyamah happened just before the annihilation of this world, the emergence of Dajjal, the ascension of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, prior to that emergence of the Sayyidina Mahdi radiyallahu an, the rising of the sun from the west, amongst the last of the signs, the emergence of a beast around the Kaaba, among some of the major signs of Qiyamah, and prior to that, in the retrogression of spirituality as times go closer towards Qiyamah, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned a number of signs, has given us directives to hold steadfastly to deen in its pristine and pure state as conveyed by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will be many, many efforts to try and pollute or interpolate the deen of Allah Ta'ala as revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal with new ideas, thoughts, isms and ideologies. Our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned about this in very clear-cut terms. يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ دَجَّالُونَ كَذَّابُونَ, that in the times close to Qiyamah there will be many people who may have the garb of deen, but will be blatant liars, fabricators. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned, we know one of the greatest trials on Iman will be the emergence of Dajjal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there is only one thing I have greater fear for my ummah than Iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Hadrat Abu Dharr radiallahu an, what is that fear? A'immatum mudillin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that people who will be in positions of authority, considered as leadership, considered as voices for the deen, but will propagate such thoughts, ideas, ideologies about Islam that is complete deviation. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi, and therefore very, very important that we read regularly on Jumu'ah, the Surah Al-Kahf, try and memorize the first and last 10 verses, and try and read them on a daily basis. It is one of the sure means of protection against Dajjal and the many deceptive ideas that would be conveyed even in the name of Deen or Dajjal and the precursors to Dajjal. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in end times there will be many liars, fabricators before the emergence of Dajjal. What will they do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says they will convey to you such matters of Deen, such narrations that neither you nor your forefathers have heard of. Things that are generally accepted as haram would be made permissible. New ideas that were previously definite will be made or propagated in the name of deen. So what does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advise when you face such a situation? And the situation will become so severe. Another hadith, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in those times, a person will roll himself over a qabr and say that, I wish I was the inmate of this grave for fear of the fitnas and trials, not financial, not personal, purely for the protection of his deen. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, that save and keep yourselves away from such who propagate different ideas, ideologies in the name of Islam. Let it not be that they deviate you and put you into a fitna, into a trial, a tribulation, that without realizing it, iman can be sold and bartered off with great ease. And that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also warned, in those times a person will awake in the morning as a believer, by the evening of that day be bereft and devoid of iman, or enter the evening as a believer and maybe some wrong statement or thought or perception about something that is undoubtedly from deen, by the morning of the next day that person will be deprived of the greatest favor of iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged to appreciate the presence of those people of great piety who live and practice the deen without compromise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَذْهَبُ الصَّالِحُونَ الْأَوَّلْ فَالْأَوَّلِ. Slowly but surely, one after the other, people of true and genuine piety will be taken away from this dunya until such time that there will be no alim, no true scholar, and ignorant people will assume leadership in deen and give such guidance and fatwas that they themselves are deviated and will deviate others. May Allah Ta'ala protect. And therefore the benchmark is the sanad, the chain, the authentic transmission of deen, heart to heart, generation to generation, as it has come down to us one generation after another. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us that holding on to deen in its pristine state at that time without compromise will come with many, many challenges. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجَمْرَةِ. Holding on to deen will be like holding on to burning coals. Many difficulties will follow in its wake. But remember, izzah and honor, even in this dunya, is forever and ever guaranteed for them, and the everlasting success of the hereafter is for them. And for this purpose, through the annals of the Islamic history, great sacrifices were given for this very purpose of maintaining and protecting one's deen under extreme challenges. In the very birth of Islam, Makkah Mukarramah, the cradle of Islam, such horrendous atrocities, Sayyiduna Bilal, Sayyiduna Suhaib, Sayyiduna Khabbab, Hadhrat Sayyiduna, the first martyr in Islam, stabbed in the most dignified part and becomes the first martyr in Islam. And many other great sacrifices were given, dragged over burning coals, dragged over the burning, scorching hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah with a boulder on their chests, being thrown into fires. This did not deter them, and this is not only in Islam. Once these very persecuted Sahaba came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it not time now that you make dua that Allah's? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaning on the walls of the Kaaba Sharif set up to emphasize that do not be hasty. People of faith, through faith in previous ummas, were tested and challenged severely. They would be brought in public, asked to forsake the deen. They would refuse. Their skins and flesh were combed off their bones. Sometimes they would be thrown into hot cauldrons of boiling oil. This did not deter them the least in their deen. This strengthened them. We find Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, classical example on the testimony of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu of his great virtue. Once when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being harassed in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif, he says, we were small, we were weak in number, none of us could go to the defense. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, to our good fortune came along, threw himself into the mob, defended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself was so severely beaten that he fell unconscious, was on the brink of death. His tribes people were ready to extract revenge. The swelling was so severe that his cheeks and his nose were at the same level. When he came around, the first thing, first worry and concern, how is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And being carried by his mother and his wife, had to see personally the well-being of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, when the persecutions and the difficulty in practicing Islam became so severe, decided to migrate to Habasha, to Abyssinia. And as he left, en route, he came across a place called Barqul Ghamad. The leader, Ibn al-Daghina, says, what are you doing here? He says, my people have forced me to leave. He says, a disbelieving leader says, a man like you with the noble qualities, you can never leave of your own accord or be forced to leave Makkah Mukarramah. Because, and he enumerates the qualities of Sayyidina, you feed the poor and destitute, you take care of the downtrodden, you champion the causes of haqq and truth, you are extremely hospitable, you join family time. He went on his asylum. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an was allowed back, and the condition was to practice his deen in the privacy of his home. But subhanAllah, when he would perform salah and recite Quran with such fervor, such a heart, that the disbelievers feared their women and children would be affected. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an said to Ibn Daghina, you can take back your asylum, but I will not compromise on the ibadah and the obedience of my Allah Azza wa Jal. And we find glorious examples. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, in his time, the leaders of the Muslim world had been deviated of a sect called the Mu'tazila, essentially giving preference to aqal and intellect over the revealed word of Allah Ta'ala. And they had compelled Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah to make statements that would open up the way to deviation, that the Quran is merely creation, not the quality of Allah Ta'ala. And for this, he remained steadfast, imprisoned, he was house arrested, he was banned from teaching in the Jamia Masjid of Baghdad, and from prison he would be lashed at least 80 times severe lashes. One of the eyewitnesses says that he was once lashed so severely, 80 lashes, that had an elephant been lashed and whooped, it would have come crumbling down because of the severity. Imam Malik rahimahullah would be lashed at least, mentioned in authentic narrations, 90 times. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab rahimahullah, when refused and compromise, his hair and his beard was completely shaved off, was severely lashed, and other many, many glorious examples. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has foretold our own history. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied that that will be the condition in end times, where, as said, holding on to Deen and Islam like holding on to a burning coal. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said Islam in its infancy stages was considered a stranger. In latter times, it will once again, Deen in its pure state will be considered something strange, something against the grain of society. Notice the titles. First, you were terrorists, and then fundamentalists, and use recently separatists, that you should assimilate into general humanity, come with a deen and a religion that accommodates everything, that brings in its wake total compromises to the essentials of deen in the name of international peace or interfaith, etc. That is a total compromise of the essentials of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, glad tidings to those who would be considered the strangers of that time. And who are they? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and may Allah reward our pious senior ulama for their standing firm on the haqq and truth and conveying it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are those who will make an effort to rectify my sunnah after it has been corrupted by people. So to value and appreciate, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that prior to Qiyamah, knowledge of deen will be snatched from this world. It will not be snatched that suddenly it is taken away from the hearts of people. The manner of it being taken away from earth is that ulama one after the other will pass away, and with them that knowledge will go until such time that there will be no true leadership in deen. Ignorant people will assume those positions and give directives in deen that is deviation to themselves and deviating others. Another chapter of great sacrifices for deen: when the British had occupied India, colonial oppression of horrendous levels, in the year 1601 when they arrived on apparently for trade, there were more than 1,000 madaris in Delhi. And in a couple of centuries, all of them were eradicated. They decided between 1864 and 1867, after the uprising of jihad in 1857, that all ulama have to be exterminated. Between Chandni Chowk in Delhi to Khaybar and to Lahore, a lengthy distance, there was not a single tree that was not spared the neck of an alim who was hanged. More than 14,000 ulama were hanged. In the Shahi Masjid of Lahore, they set up gallows where daily 80 ulama were executed. They would put ulama on the back of an elephant and tie them next to a tree and force those elephants to run so that they would be put in sacks and thrown into the Ravi River in Lahore, and then men to their bodies. Sometimes the ulama would be put into pigskins and thrown into burning furnaces after their bodies were branded. These are documented incidents in history. An Englishman himself in the book, The Other Side of the Medal, writes about some of the scenes witnessed by British themselves. He says that he came to his camp and could smell human flesh. When he went to the back of his camp, he saw burning coals and ulama being put there alive until they were roasted to death after their clothes had been taken out. And thereafter, another 40 were brought, and the English commander said to them that if only one of you acknowledges that you are part of the rebellion, and we say the jihad of independence, only one of you distances himself, all 40 of you will be spared, not capitulated. They met their martyrdom, another 40 were brought. The same response, the Englishman says, not one of them had given the English what they wanted to hear. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to value, to appreciate this great ni'mah of deen, to hold steadfastly to it, adopt the means and dua for its protection. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Reminder, inshallah, after salah, very important, the collection that will take place, our means of contributing, love for the house of Allah, the home of Allah Azza wa Jal, the madrasa, and for every cent that we spend, there is immense and everlasting rewards, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alal falah. Hayya 'alal falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله عز وجل في السر والعلن فإن الله يحب المتقين ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا أيها المسلمون فلنشكر الله عز وجل على جميع نعمه خصوصا نعمة الإيمان وأن ندعو الله عز وجل بالتمسك بالدين الإسلام كما بلغه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين فقد مدحهم الله عز وجل قائلا والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين وقد أخبر الصادق المصدوق سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أمتي أمة قائمة على أمر الله لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء وهم الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس من بعدي من سنتي أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله هو نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين، وأصلح ذات على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان، وأمتنا على الإيمان، واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمساجد كلها في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين والمأسورين في سبيلك في كل مكان. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قيموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل. Filling the gaps between shoulders, ensure that the heels are in a straight line. It's filling the gaps in the safs in front of us. If there's any gap in the saf in front of us, let us fill in those, inshallah. Those amongst the steps, extremely beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, in completing and filling the saf. Let's ensure that when we are in the saf, stand as close as possible. Shoulder to shoulder commences, there are no gaps between our shoulders. Ensure that we stand as close as possible. One of the means of in unity in the ummah is to stand as close as possible, shoulder to shoulder in salah. Ensure that the heels are in a straight line. استووا يعتدلوا تقاربوا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى، سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه جهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى، فذكر إن الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا، والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك غاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة، تصلى نارا حامية، تسقى من عين آنية، ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع، وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية، في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية، فيها عين جارية، فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة، ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة، أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت، فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر، إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله، استغفر الله، استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وأنزله المقعد المقرب عنده. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر وعذاب القبر. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين، واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأساتذتنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات،
وصل اللهم على النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.